couple of Sundays, we have looked at, we've heard a story from the second chapter of Genesis about Adam and Eve and a serpent and a forbidden fruit from a forbidden tree. And then last week, we heard the story of Abram, turned Abraham, who said, "How can I possibly be the father of a nation when I don't even have a son?" And so we've been asking ourselves this question, can God be trusted? I mean, God creates this whole beautiful garden, right? Like, I mean, it's lush, and I close my eyes and I just imagine the most glorious, beautiful green colors everywhere, and flowers and fruits and everything that you could possibly imagine, right? This God that creates this incredible, incredible garden and then puts something right in the middle of it, this tree that, you know, it says is very pleasing to the eyes, and then says, "Don't touch it." Come on, right? That's a setup if I have ever heard one, right? And so, you know, the snake kind of uses its craftiness and tells Eve that maybe she shouldn't trust God. And so they eat. And so God does what God does. And God punishes them. It does not say that God curses them, but God sends them out. And then, in God's time, God repairs that relationship, right? And then a few chapters later, God chooses this guy, Abraham, and he has very big plans, very, very big plans for Abraham. And God makes this promise, and Abraham picks up his life, his wife, and his servants, and his house, and his animals, and they leave this huge move, which is, you know, everything back then. And then years and years and years later, he's still sitting there, and he still doesn't have a child. And he says, "God, come on. God makes a promise. Can we trust God's promises?" And God doesn't get mad, doesn't get angry or upset that Abraham is questioning, but rather, God says, "This promise is a promise." And God takes Abraham out of his tent and gets him to stare up at the night sky and says, "If you can count the stars, I mean, if you can count them, so will your descendants be." So God doesn't get upset. God restates the promise. And we know that in the end, God does give Abraham a son. So today we hear the story of Joseph, a very well-known story. If you can hear this story without songs popping into your head, then I can't relate, because if I listened to the soundtrack of Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat once in my life, I have listened to it probably 10,000 times. But nevertheless, I think that this story finds us asking the same question, right? Joseph seems to be a pretty decent guy. I'm not sure that he's not a little bit, perhaps, arrogant. I mean, I'm not sure that anybody really wants a sibling who's always saying, "Hey, I had this dream where I was way better than you."
Right? I mean, I think that in some ways, the way the brothers feel is perhaps a little bit legitimate, right? But aside from that, Joseph seems to be a fairly honest guy, a decent person. And so this story becomes a study in why do bad things happen to good people, right? Joseph gets sold by his brothers, and then he's becomes a slave in Egypt, and he works hard because, you know, he's still a decent guy, and he works hard, and he gets to be a trusted servant in Potiphar's house. And then his wife does that little, you know, thing, and then he ends up in jail. He's still a decent dude. Now he's in jail, right? So now he interprets dreams for people. People start trusting him again. Pharaoh has, right? And then his brothers show up. And it's this, how does he keep his faith and his stability in all of this? Like, you get there and then you get knocked down. And then you get knocked down. And you finally get to a place where maybe you can feel a little bit secure. And then the people who sold you, your own brothers, they come and they're staring you in the face. I mean, there's got to be at least a little temptation to tell them to take a hike, right? But Joseph is this really, he's still a really decent guy. And so he sees that his position, where he has been fortunate enough to find security and wealth and plenty, that he decides that he should help his brothers. And so here, I think, is proof that even when bad things happen, quick little theology lesson for you. When people say everything happens for a reason, I don't believe that at all. When people say, oh, God doesn't give you more than you can handle, I don't believe that at all. I believe that bad stuff happens. I don't believe that God planned for Joseph to get sold, but rather that his brothers, who were frail, sinful, human, broken human beings, much like us, made a bad decision. And that God takes that stuff and figures out how to make good even out of bad. Right? God, and Joseph ends up in jail, and good can still happen. Joseph ends up here, faced with his brothers. Good can happen. And the family is reunited. And Jacob gets to see his son again, which I can only imagine would be basically heaven to him. And so good can come. But I want to take a step back now for a moment and go back to this idea of Joseph, who uses his position of being fortunate and decides to use it for good. So about a year ago, at the 2015 National Convention, the ELCIC approved and set out what was going to be called the Reformation Challenge. So next month, we celebrate Reformation Day. And this year's Reformation Day marks the beginning of the 500th year of the Reformation. Martin Luther nailed the 95 Theses to the church door
on October 31st, 1517. So on October 31st, 2017, that's 500 years ago. So the Lutheran Church all over the world is marking this anniversary. We are not calling it a celebration because the Reformation hurt as many people as it helped. So we are not celebrating it, but we are commemorating it. And so we are marking it, hopefully to the good of the world. So the ELCIC, in order to join in this celebration, decided we set ourselves four goals. They are, what is the word I'm looking for? They are lofty goals. It's not called the Reformation easy. It's called the Reformation challenge. So together, as the whole national church, our goals are to help sponsor 500 refugees to Canada, to help provide 500 scholarships for schools of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Jordan and the Holy Land. So they have several Lutheran schools in mostly in Palestine, and they help a lot of kids go to school. We are endeavoring to plant 500,000 trees. So that's not just in our own backyards, but anywhere in the world. And to help give $500,000 to the Lutheran World Federation Endowment Fund. So the endowment fund of the LWF helps to continue the work of the Lutheran World Federation, which is very important work. The LWF is the, I can't ever remember how to say it, is responsible for caring on a daily basis for the second largest number of refugees in the entire world, behind, I think it's UNICEF. So that is something that we are a part of. We give to CLWR, CLWR and our national church support the Lutheran World Federation. We are a part of that. So we endeavor to give $500,000 to the LWF Endowment Fund. So congregations have been invited to participate in this. And as we are only 6 days away from the beginning of October, I wanted to introduce to you our Reformation Challenge. So I've had good conversation with the church councils of Zion and St. James, and this past week the Joint Ministry Committee came up with some suggestions. Your people decided that we would put to you the decision as to what we will endeavor to do in the next year as two congregations together. So you have three options, and we would ask that you vote and register your vote in the next 2 weeks. And then by Reformation Sunday, we will announce what we are going to do together. So certainly in the spirit of Reformation Challenge, our goals are ambitious. But that is okay. I think that if we don't get there, we'll come awfully close. So we've endeavored to do one of three things. Number one, to sponsor and or plant 10,000 trees. We can do it. So through CLWR, this is only one option, you can sponsor 50 seedlings for $50. So, and those get planted anywhere in the world, right? Now, if you plant a tree in your backyard, that counts, right? Or if you give somebody a tree to mark the birth of their baby, that counts. Or if you, right, follow, it follows. So, option number one, plant or sponsor to be planted 10,000 trees. Option number two, sponsor 7 scholarships. So one scholarship is $1,400. So that the estimated value of that option is $9,800. So we kept them all in the same kind of neighborhood. And the third option is to do a combination of the two, to sponsor 4 scholarships and plant 5,000 trees. So, now you get to decide. You get to decide. And I am really excited about this. And we are going to do some stuff together over the next year. And we will figure out how to do this together. The best part of it is that we get a moment to be like Joseph, right? To sit back and realize that we are fortunate. And we, as we celebrate 500 years, commemorate 500 years of Reformation, we don't need help ourselves. What we need is to help the world. Because indeed that is certainly what Jesus has called us to do. So you have 2 weeks to register your vote. The votes will be counted. We will announce the results. Think about it. Pray about it. Let's do this together.